50 years ago, the culture was basically Christian. And at that time, the subculture was, say, like Woodstock. Woodstock, the music festival, sex, drugs, rock and roll was the subculture. Well, in the last 50 years, that's been reversed. The world has gone the way of Woodstock, and Christianity has become the subculture. When the Pope would have his World Youth Day, they would dub it the Pope's Woodstock. Okay, it's the Pope's revolution. Okay, and ultimately, it's that revolution that we look forward to, when Christianity will once more reign in the culture. It was Our Lady of Fatima who promised, "My immaculate heart will triumph." Basically, she said, we don't live in a post-Christian era, we live in a pre-Christian era. And we look forward to that, like we say, that subculture of Christianity once again taking over the culture. And it's kind of the contradiction in today's gospel with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes of the culture that we live in begin, blessed are the rich and famous. Okay? That's the false gospel preached by those who do not think outside the box of time. Okay? Blessed are the rich and famous. The prophets of this false gospel are from Madison Avenue in Hollywood, the advertising industry, the entertainment media. Okay? Those who do not think outside the box of this world. But in today's gospel, we hear the very opposite. It says, woe to you who are rich. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Okay? And so that, blessed are the poor. Okay, that's a blessing on detachment and humility. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are his Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are detached from this world. Blessed are the humble. You know, they have that expression of the proud. They say, today's peacock is tomorrow's feather duster. Okay? Today's peacock is tomorrow's feather duster. Okay? The glory of this world is short-lived. Okay? And of detachment, Mother Angelica has a favorite meditation. She says she likes to think of a flatbed truck driving down the highway. It's carrying all these crushed and compacted cars. And she says, how many souls have been lost pursuing those dreams of fast and fancy cars, now reduced to a chunk of rusted metal? Woe to those whose treasure is in this world. Woe to those who set their hearts on anything less than eternal life, less than God. Blessed are those who hunger, who are now hungry. St. John of the Cross says of them that there is no limit to what God can accomplish in the soul whose only desire is to please him. Blessed are the hungry. Okay? Because there's no limit to what God can accomplish in the soul whose only desire is to please him. And hungry for what? Well, the deepest hunger of the human soul is for truth, for life, and for love. Okay? So those who hunger for those will be satisfied. And hungry also implies a zeal. This zeal is this impelling desire to advance the kingdom of Christ, to bring salvation to souls and the glory of God, to make God known and loved and served more faithfully. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who weep. Okay? Trials are meant to unite us to Christ, not to separate us from him. Okay? My God, why have you abandoned me? Well, God permits us to be tempted, to be tested, not so that we fall, but in order that we might grow stronger. Okay. Faith that is not tested is really not faith. Okay. Our faith must be tested and tried and proved. The science of the saints would say that if we understood the value of suffering, we would pursue pain rather than pleasure. Okay? We would want to share in the victimhood of Christ because it brings redemption to the world. And above all, we mourn, we weep for sin. Our Lord said to the women of Jerusalem, "Weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children." Because those who weep will enter into eternal life. Those who mourn over their sins will enter into the fullness of life. They will receive God's mercy. Blessed are those who are persecuted for Christ. Well, there's a good summary of Christianity that says that first Christians were ignored, then they were opposed, then they were persecuted, then they were legally forbidden to practice their faith, and finally they were martyred, that they were fed to the lions. And that's, there's an opposition between Christ and the world. There's this opposition. When we speak the truth, we expect persecution. When we live the truth, we expect contradiction. We expect to be contradicted. T.S. Eliot has a line. He says that when everyone is running toward a precipice over the edge of the cliff, when everyone is running toward a precipice, he who walks in the opposite direction seems to have lost its way, his way. Okay? So when everyone is in a mad rush, in a culture of death, running in the wrong direction, he who walks in the opposite direction seems to have lost his way. But ultimately, our Lord promises in those Beatitudes that those who walk in the opposite direction from this culture are those who are blessed, those who will find eternal life. So we pray that we may be faithful to that truth that God speaks to us, that we might courageously, but with the help of God's grace, always walk in the opposite direction from a culture of death.